tell us a little bit about your multimedia situation.
Okay. So we've slowly been eliminating cable-type services from our house over the years.
Like the TV networks.
Yeah, TV networks and stuff like that. And so it's been, you know, first we had a Western Digital player for... First, we were using the PlayStation for all of our DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff.
Okay. And that'll prematurely wear it out.
Yep. And then PlayStation did an update, and some of our Blu-rays would no longer play.
So that's nice of them.
Yeah. So we had to get a new system. So we got a Western Digital something or other.
Like a TV box from Western Digital or something.
So we've been using that for a while, but that had limitations, and we couldn't cast to it like you could with a Chromecast. So then we got a Chromecast. But then because of the show, I keep hearing about Roku and our Western Digital. We've had it now for 4 years, and it's starting to fail. So I'm like, well, we need something else.
Yeah.
But with all of that, we only have the one external hard drive. And so what's been happening is it's like, well, the kids are playing on the PlayStation here. So now we're going to move the external hard drive to this TV. And so this, your hard drive is moving around.
Oh, my goodness. And I would assume that you're running into problems with compatibility of certain video
files.
Yes,
that happens as well. So some players will play the AVI, some won't. Some play MP4, some won't. And it got to the point where my wife was just frustrated. She's like, I don't know what plays and what doesn't. And so I'm like, well, let me see if I can find something that works. So I asked you about with the Raspberry Pi playing with Plex and Media Server.
We're going to get into what Plex is and how it works, and we're actually going to install it on your Raspberry Pi for you. Yeah. I think it's our responsibility as men to take care of all the techno blips in our household in the event that our wife is frustrated.
Absolutely.
Of course, there are some very savvy women as well. I'm not saying that. But as the tech guru in my household, I take a real pride in making sure that stuff works.
Yep.
And it doesn't always. It's like the cobbler in his shoe and the kids with their old shoes.
Yes.
It sometimes happens that way. Yep. Yeah, it's got to run smoothly. So one of the things about Plex, first of all, is it is a transcoder engine. What that means is you've got one server or computer or system, in this case it's going to be a Raspberry Pi 3, that acts as the connection for all of your devices. Mm-hmm. So your Chromecast connects to it to watch the shows. Your Roku 2 connects to it to watch the shows. And by doing that, this server make sure that the file format going to those devices are the right format for that device to play. So be it an AVI, an M4V, any file format that you can throw at it, really, you put it on Plex instead of your device itself.
Right.
So then when I click on Plex and I browse through my library from my Roku, even though Roku may not be able to play AVI files, natively.
Right.
Plex will convert it on the fly without you ever having to see it happen instantaneously. In the amount of time that it takes to go loading, it will convert it to the format that you need for watching it seamlessly on your Roku device. And that works on all of your devices as far as I know. Yet to find a current device that it doesn't play on, it'll work on your phone. You can install the Plex app. And you can access it there. And then you can cast it to your Chromecast.
Which is awesome.
And you can use your Roku and you can use your computer through the browser.
And it will also, I was reading, it will also allow you to access it remotely, will it not?
If you set it up in your firewall, you could.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Now, as far as performance goes through the internet, that's going to be limited to your internet connections upstream.
Course.
And typically upstream for internet is relatively low compared to your downstream. The service providers expect that you're doing more downloading than uploading. So streaming from Plex out to the world is going to use a lot of your bandwidth. But in-house, it gives you a centralized place for all of your media in a very accessible format.
I'm excited.
Think of it like your own personal Netflix. Your home movies and
it looks everything like it too.
Else. It really does.
Yeah,
I think I brought a little media library with me. Let's see here. I always carry some USB sticks with me. There we go. That's got some media, so we're going to use that for testing tonight.
Perfect.
We've got your Raspberry Pi that you brought in 20 minutes before the show.
Yep.
I've plugged it in. It's up and running. There it is. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually set this up as a Plex media server. So this little device can be in a closet somewhere, plugged into Ethernet or even on Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. Although I would recommend that you use Ethernet if you can. And that is because if you've got the kids watching it on the TV and you're watching it on your phone and your tablet or whatever else, Wi-Fi bandwidth, as you know, is not as fast and reliable as Ethernet.
Right.
That said, the Raspberry Pi 3 has 802.11n, so it's very, very fast Wi-Fi, but that doesn't mean that your wireless in-house is going to be able to handle that amount of bandwidth. So first of all, we started talking about you maybe pulling out your old computer and turning it into a Plex server.
Yes.
And immediately I said, I don't know if it's going to be able to do it, because it does have to do all that transcoding on the fly. It's got to be pretty powerful.
And it's an old desktop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got looking at the Raspberry Pi 3. We're going to be throwing out a bunch of crazy brands tonight.
That's
so
right.
If I slip, you can correct me and laugh at me. We've got the Raspberry Pi 3, and I got looking at the specifications at 1.2 gigahertz with a quad-core processor. It's pretty darn fast.
Mm-hmm.
The Pi right out of the box has a gig of RAM. It's got a great video a good performing video device. Mm-hmm. So it really would work well. Not only could it be just the server in the back room, but maybe you plug it into one of your TVs as well and it becomes the Plex on that TV.
Right.
While
exactly.
all the other ones connect to it. So that's pretty brilliant. So jumping over to our Pi, and I'm going to do my best with this because I've got keyboards all over the place. I got keyboards and mice, and I'm going to try to hit the right ones here. Okay, so on your Pi, I should say, let's first of all jump into our terminal, and what we're looking at here is Raspbian. This is Debian. So what we want to do is sudo apt-get update. This is the very first thing, and this is vanilla Raspbian. Okay, so this is typical Debian instructions. It's Raspbian Jesse, Debian Jesse, and this is a free download from raspberrypi.org. Probably came pre-installed. A lot of the Pi units even come with it pre-installed.
Yes.
If you go to cat5.tv/Pi, you'll get a micro SD card that has Raspbian already preset up for
yes.
it.
Yes.
All right. So looking at that, it's just getting my sources list and updating. That's the very first thing that you want to do. Next step, of course, is we want to do sudo apt-get upgrade. That's going to go through our package list and make sure that everything is up to date. You'll notice that it says there's nothing to install on my system, and that's because, just to save you some time tonight, I pre-did that before the show. Sudo apt-get dist-upgrade is the very next and final thing that we want to type in there. And there we go. So we've got all our updates. Now, that process is probably going to take several minutes, maybe a half hour to an hour for you if you've never run those commands, because it's going to have to download all of the latest packages and the latest kernel, and everything gets installed on your Raspberry Pi. It's important that you do that. We had a talk before the show about mm-hmm. the firmware.
Yes.
And your Sony PlayStation, you got a firmware that broke it. Well, I prefer firmwares that fix things, and that's
yes.
what happens on the Raspberry Pi. So with that upgrade, you're actually getting the problem with Bluetooth
that's
when it first
right.
came
yeah.
out, which we're not going to be using Bluetooth on the device.
No.
But we know that Bluetooth, the bug that was there in the kernel, was causing instability on the Raspberry Pi 3.
Yes.
That's all a thing of the past. So by upgrading, we now have a working Pi that we can trust is going to be reliable. So now the final step here is sudo reboot and hit enter, and that's going to restart our Raspberry Pi. There we go. Oh, let's zoom out a little bit here. Nice and zippy, eh? So, as I say, this is just a vanilla install of Raspbian Jesse. Black screen as we wait for it. Don't worry, folks. There it is. Okay. All right, let's get back into our terminal, and this is where the fun begins. And hey, I want to remind you, if you're watching the show live, get into our chat room, Category 5 on Freenode. So jumping back to our Raspberry Pi, it has booted up, and we've got our terminal back up and running here. So next thing that we need to do is we need to set up. Now, for some reason, I'll just say, Raspbian does not have the ability out of the box to have HTTPS sources in your app sources.list.
Okay.
So what that means is your repositories are all going through an HTTP connection. We want to change that. We want to fix it so that we can use secure connections. So the way that we do that is sudo apt-get install, and there's this package in Debian, and it's called apt-transport HTTPS, just like that, with the hyphens at apt-transport-https, and hit enter. That's going to download that tool, that package, automatically and install it on our system. So now our apt-sources.list can contain HTTPS repositories.
Nice.
That's important because the repository we're going to be tapping into tonight for our Plex Media server is going to be using a secure transport. Okay, so jumping back there, it's already done, nice and quick. So the next step is that we need to actually add a repository, and this one comes to us from Universität Leipzig in Germany. So we need to go into cdetc apt, and then we're going to go sudo nano sources.list, and there's our current file for Raspbian's repositories. And we want to add this particular repository, which is HTTPS. I probably want to go deb, don't I? Yeah, deb. So watch this, and don't worry, I'm going to actually put this information in the comments below. So if you lose this, or if you can't follow what I'm typing on the screen, make sure you just copy and paste. That's another way you can do it. Okay, so we're going HTTPS. Remember that we installed the transport for that. And we're going to dev2day.de. That's a server host at Universität Leipzig. And we're going to go PMS, which, guys, come on now. That stands for Plex Media Server / dev2day-pms. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm looking at the key. / PMS. There we go. Space. Jesse. Main. And I should probably have a trailing slash there as well, just to be sure. Okay, so if I've got that right, and I run an apt-get update. Get update. Sudo. I'm going to get a warning that I don't have the key, and that's where I was getting ahead of myself. I need to install their key. So watch this. And you definitely want to get that key, because then now it's connecting. It looks like it's working. And reading the package list.
I hate when it pauses the last couple percent.
Come on, 98%. Okay, so you see that GPG error?
Yes.
It's basically telling me we can't confirm that this particular repository is who they say they are. It's okay. HTTPS, but we don't know their public key. So we don't have any way to confirm that, yeah, this is actually them. So we want to add that key to our system, to our Raspberry Pi, and that's going to protect us just in case somebody goes and, you know, tries to pretend that they are them. So the way that we do that is go, let's go into / TMP. There I go. I literally, for those of you in the chat room, I literally just typed that into the chat room. That's what happens when I've got several keyboards here. Okay, cd /TMP, because we're going to wget a file. So wget-o-, this is a nice little command for you, https://dev2day.de/pms/, and here's where it was, dev2day-pms.gpg.key. I could download that to temp, and that's fine, and then I could use sudo apt key to add it, but why don't we do it all in one fell swoop? Let's pipe it with a pipe. Why is it giving me a tilde? Oh, I think it's thinking that I have some kind of French keyboard. Nope. That was an exclamation point. Oh, come on. Raspberry Pi, do we have a keyboard detection somewhere? My keyboard doesn't have a pipe. So let's do it the old-fashioned way. And we'll just download that. There we go. So now we actually have a file in our /tmp that is that file, which was, what did I save it to? dev2day-pms. No, I didn't output it. Let's remove that hyphen there. I'm only doing this because my pipe doesn't work. Oh. Sorry. I need to change my command. Okay, so I'm going to actually download that key to my current folder. Now I have a copy of it. Dash O means output to this particular file name, and then hyphen just means output it to the screen.
Okay.
Okay, so so we're having to work around that. So now, if I go sudo apt key add, and then the file name, I believe is the syntax. There we go. Okay, so it says okay. So you could have gotten around that by doing it all in one fell swoop by doing this. Let's pretend there's a pipe there, okay? So that's the vertical line. And then you could just go sudo apt key apt key add dash. Okay, so that's where you could do it differently. We've had to do it by downloading it first and then adding it there manually. Okay, so not all that complicated, but let's run sudo apt get update again. And you'll see now, because we have that key, we're not going to have that GPG error at the end there. So here we go. So we're looking at a Debian repository. This repository is containing the Plex Media Server installer application for Debian, which will run on our Raspberry Pi. So that is, see, there was no error. So now I can actually install that. So we can go sudo apt get install, and we want to actually tell it that we're using the Jesse folder or the Jesse branch of this repository. So we type dash T space Jesse, and then simply Plex Media Server, just like that. Should find it. There we go. It's asking me if I want to install it. It's going to install Plex Media Server and Plex Media Server dash installer. I'll say yes. And there we go. So what it's doing now, Jeff, is it's actually downloading Plex Media Server off of that repository that we added, and it's installing it on our Raspberry Pi.
Exciting.
It's pretty cool stuff. All right. There we go. It's all done. So all your talking, Jeff, over the news gave us enough time to install Plex Media Server. It was actually done during the first story.
Ah.
There you go. Well, okay. Then. So now that we've installed Plex Media Server, as we demonstrated here, the next step is to simply reboot, sudo reboot our Raspberry Pi, and there we go. So it's going to go through that reboot process. Why do you expect that we want to do that? Well, fact is your Plex Media Server is a web server of sorts. So there are so many different things being installed and different packages that are being activated that rebooting is going to make sure that all of those are up and running and right, working well. So it's a good step at the end of it to reboot. And also, your Raspberry Pi is a micro SD card, so rebooting syncs the file system and makes sure that if there is a power outage or something, that the file system is, yep, you know, everything's saved. Speaking of your micro SD, one of the things that you could do, Jeff, is you could purchase something like a 128 gigabyte micro SD. They come, like, they're really, it's really tiny, and yet really huge. Look at the size of this chip. And for those who have been in computing as long as me, I find it amazing that that has 128 gigabytes of storage on it.
Yeah, considering that like a 1 megabyte hard drive was an entire wall back 40 years ago.
My RLL hard drives were 20 megabytes, and they were like this. 3U is what it was called. So the whole bay of the front of your computer, they're huge, but very tiny capacity-wise. Now, it's the complete opposite. So that said, you could, if you wanted to put your media library on the Raspberry Pi so that you don't have to connect external devices, you could buy a larger capacity SD right card. The advantage to that, of course, is that you don't have to have wires coming out. The disadvantage right is micro SD is going to be reading and writing as you watch videos, and so you're going to reduce the life of your micro SD card. Because it's the operating system, it's nice to just have it running and then have your app actual media streaming from another device. Yep. So you can use an external hard drive. That would be what I do. So we've got a 32 gigabyte chip in there, micro SD. That's got just our operating system in Plex now. And we're going to use external devices to store our actual media files.
Right.
An external USB hard drive can be 3, 4, 8 terabytes. I mean, whatever you want to do. And just keep your media on that. And then you can access it from your Plex device. Okay, so let's jump back over. This is finished booting up. And now there's nothing really to do on that screen. If I bring up my actual computer now, so a completely separate system, I should be able to now access that Raspberry Pi Plex server through my computer's web browser.
Right.
Because I'm on the same network.
Right. Okay.
The one thing that I do need, however, is I need to know the IP address of the Raspberry Pi. Quick way that I could do that is to actually bring up the terminal and type sudo ifconfig, and you'll see a list of the different networking devices, and I can see that my network on Ethernet is 192.168.0.105. So if we jump over to my computer, let's go to 192.168.0.105, and then we need to specify the port. And the default port on a Plex Media server is, you're going to need to memorize this, 32400, all right? And then /web. You're going to want to bookmark that. Now, this is the moment of truth, so I'm pausing purposefully, because if all went well, and I'm hoping it did, our Raspberry Pi should now be a Plex Media server.
All right.
Are you ready? I'm going to hit enter on this.
Oh,
and there
look
we go.
At that.
Through my browser, I now have Plex running. I can hit F11 and make it full screen, and that's a beautiful device.
Okay, so
we're going to agree to this, and we need to sign in. So this is your device, Jeff. So
yep.
What we're going to actually do is I'm going to get you to use your username and password.
Is this one or the other keyboard?
It's actually this keyboard. This keyboard is the Raspberry Pi,
but we're actually
connecting from our computer. So I won't bring it up on the screen because that's private. So he's just logging in with a pre-existing Plex account. So you see that there is a sign-up option there as well. So you've obviously already gone through that. Now, how did you find that process?
Oh, it was really quick, really easy.
And did it cost you money to do that? Or
the
Plex
server
is free.
Yeah,
the media server is free.
Was free. I think the app was $5.95.
And what did you install that on?
My phone.
Okay. And you installed it on your Roku too as well?
Yes, on the Roku too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you've got Plex client on your phone and your Roku too.
Yes.
Which are now going to connect into your Plex media server, which is the Raspberry Pi.
Right.
Okay, so let's go through the steps together, Jeff. This is giving us an introduction to Plex Pass. It tells you that you can sign up for monthly service, and this is what you're going to get. Do you want these things? You can decide whether you want to or not. I'm going to say, you know what? No, we're not going to today, but you can always add that at any point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, give it a friendly name so that you have a way to identify Plex in your app. So let's call this our Plex Media Server. Does that work? Can
Works
you have spaces?
Me.
Let's give it a go. Okay, so allow me access to my media outside of my home. There's that question that you had.
Yep.
Plex will attempt to automatically configure your network to allow access to your Plex media server from Plex apps outside of your home. Nice. So it's going to actually use automatic features to be able to configure your router for you with UPnP, for example. Something along those lines to pre-configure your router. That's beautiful. You want that?
I do.
All right, let's go next.
This is exciting. Now, just a comment. GoodGuy98 in the chat room is saying that Rasplex is also a Plex client for Pi.
So you could purchase more Raspberry Pi units, which have a beautiful HDMI output.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's 1080p. It might be higher than that. Is it 2.7K?
I think it's 1080.
Okay. You can look that up.
I haven't paid attention.
So you get full HD anyways, at the very least. And so you can actually install that as your OS on a Raspberry Pi.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, this Raspberry Pi 3 is our Plex Media Server.
Right.
This is the one that's doing all the encoding. So it's doing the hard work. you could probably get away with running, what is it called? Rasplex.com?
Rasplex.com.
With only one P.
R-A-S-P-L-E-X.com.
With that, you could install that on a Raspberry Pi 2, save yourself some coinage.
Yep.
And it will most, I would assume, is going to run great anyways because all the encoding, the transcoding is happening on here. That right. said, if you don't mind paying the extra, get the Raspberry Pi 3. It's 66% faster than the Raspberry Pi 2.
It's and beautiful.
Exponentially faster than the first gen Raspberry Pi. So if you can do it, grab a bunch of those. So with that, you can then, now you've set up clients all over your house. You've got one taped to the back of your TV. And
you're good to go.
All of your systems have Plex on them and whatever else you want to have on it. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty decent. Tonight, we're just looking at the server component, and we are accessing it through our web browser. The next thing is it's asking us to add our media library, which we don't presently have. So that's where we say, okay, now we want our media library. I've got my USB flash drive.
Right.
I wouldn't suggest using a USB flash drive for this on an ongoing basis because, again, like a micro SD card, you're going to prematurely wear your USB flash drive. You right. might want to have a good, solid, external hard drive, be it a spinning or an SSD. It's going to work. It's just they're built for constant reads and writes,
right.
More so than something like this is, which is meant to store a couple documents on, transfer it to your laptop, and then remove them.
Right.
So, okay, so I'm going to plug this into the Raspberry Pi here. There are four USB ports, so you got plenty of space. The Raspberry Pi doesn't need anything other than your Ethernet.
Okay.
Okay, so you don't have to have it plugged into a TV. You don't have to have a keyboard plugged into it now that we're done setting it up. We can actually use SSH to now remote into it and configure things.
That's true.
But you know what? It is nice to be able to use the GUI. And when I plugged in that removable media, you see that it actually found it. And it's got it. So let's open it in File Manager, and you'll see that it actually threw it in /media/pi/, and then this EC, so on and so forth. So that device is now detected and ready to go. Okay, so you'll see that I actually have, this is the Raspberry Pi screen, I actually have all this stuff on here. So in my home movies folder, I've got, let's see, that is an MPEG video, you see at the bottom there, MPG. Mm-hmm. I've got one that is an MTS, which you're going to have trouble playing on a lot of connected devices.
Yes.
And I've got a WMV. Three very different file formats.
Yes.
Windows Media format. You know, sometimes you need to install encoders and decoders and things like that. So we're going to see if this is going to work right out of the box with Plex. So this is just a very basic media library that I've created. You see that I've sorted these, Jeff, into home videos, movies, music, and TV shows.
Right.
Right. The reason for that is I actually want to set up each of those folders as a different media library on Plex.
Okay.
So that I don't have home movies intertwined with my movies library.
Makes right? sense.
And you can even go a step further if your library is huge and break it up into categories. So I have TV shows drama, TV shows crime, TV shows sci-fi.
Okay.
And those are individual folders which I've added individually to Plex.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So now from my interface, this is my web browser on my computer. Okay. So I'm actually looking at this through my web browser connected into the Raspberry Pi. I'm going to click Add Library because I now know that my Plex Media Server here has that USB drive plugged in. I can set that up. Remember, this is Debian, right? So I could set that up in FSTab so that it automatically mounts to the same place every time, but I'm plugging it in and leaving it in, so it's always going to be the same. It's got the same ID and everything,
right.
So that's fine. But if you want, if you have any trouble with it changing, or if you change the drive name is going to change, so then you can go into, do a quick Google search or search in your favorite search engine for permanent mount external hard drive, FSTab, file system table, is what it stands for. And that will show you how to do that. It's nice and easy, and we've actually covered it several times on the show here, so I'm not gonna do that tonight. But in this case, so now let's start with movies.
Okay.
So we're going to call this movies. We can name it whatever we like. So this is where you could say movies, sci-fi.
Right? Okay.
But I've got all of them in one folder, so I'm going to click next. Browse for your media folder. Now we know that is in, well, look at that, it's put it right there. Let's see what we can find. Does this let me go right into it? Let's try going into slash media, pi. Where's my media? Come on.
Is it just taking time to think, or?
Oh,
there it's added. Then if you hit add library.
That's the whole drive, though. Okay, well, it's scanning everything. That's movies.
Hmm.
Let's actually go into Plex, because we're looking at, yeah, let's actually go next without adding a library.
Okay.
And skip over this whole step. Send anonymous usage data to Plex. I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that, Jeff?
Yeah, sure, why not?
This is going to help them to develop it. Okay, so now that I'm in Plex, let's try adding a library here and see if it's any different as far as what we get.
Oh, what about add folders?
We'll see, when I click next, it selects that. Now,
oh,
I, can,
okay,
now
gotcha.
I can browse for it. And it's not showing me the whole folder tree.
Hmm.
I'm looking, folks.
Now, what if you clicked your USB through in your slash, your forward slash, and then typed?
I could grab... Let's see if... Okay, let's go over here, and let's say, okay, home videos, okay? Normally, this would be incredibly seamless. It may be the USB. You know what? Let's... Jeff, can I go with the FSTab route just in
sure.
case? It's because
yeah.
We're allowing this to automatically mount itself. So let's actually cancel out of that. And I am going to show you that after all. I wasn't intending to. But let's do it that way. Okay, so what we know is that this drive is currently mounted. So if we go to our terminal, nice thing about it being mounted is we can find out the device ID really, really easy by typing. And if I type it in the right window here, sudo mount, and that's going to show us the device is, there it is, dev/SDA1, okay? So I'm going to remember that, dev/SDA1. Do you see what I'm seeing there?
I see it.
It is looking in media/pi. That's the actual mount point, okay? So I'm going to unmount that, sudo umount dev, media/pi EC32. And now it's unmounted, okay? So it's gone from my system.
Yep.
But I know that it was dev/SDA1. So sudo nano etc fstab. Let's actually make it a part of our file system. I think that's probably going to work better for us. So the first thing that we do here, this is the file system table. This tells our Raspberry Pi what drives to look for and mount at boot time.
Right.
Okay? Yep. So this is always going to be the same. So all we need to do is tell it what we're mounting and where. So first of all, we're going to say dev/SDA1 was the drive name, and then hit tab. And then we're going to tell it where we want to mount it. Now, we haven't created a mount point yet, but we will. So what we're going to do, we're going to call it /MNT/library. And do not forget that, because you're going to need to actually create that mount point. This is a FAT32 drive, so we're going to use VFAT. If it's NTFS, you would use NTFS. If it's EXT4 or 3, you do that as it would be. You can read the man pages or just do a quick search on the internet for FSTab for the formatting. We're going to use defaults for this, and we're going to go 0, 0. And what that does is it says, when I boot up my computer, the Raspberry Pi, don't scan this thing. Don't go through a file system check or anything like that. Just let her boot. Okay, so if I control O to save that, because I used nano, and now I need to create that mount library. So cd/mnt, there's nothing there, so sudo makedir library. Okay, so now there's a folder here that is empty, and we're going to create a mount point out of it. One thing that I love to do before I mount anything on a mount point is I use chatter plus I and then the mount point. Okay, I need to be super user to do that. So now when I go into the library folder, you'll notice it still looks the same, but if I try to touch a file, it will fail, okay? The reason that I do that is because my mount point, if the drive is for some reason not mounted, I don't want things accidentally being saved to the mount point,
right,
as opposed to the drive, because then when I do plug in the drive, it will fail to mount because there's stuff in the mount point.
Right.
So I've just stopped it from being able to write to the mount point when it is not mounted. Okay, so now if I type sudo mount dash a for mount all. Now if I do an ls, is it grabbing it? Sudo. Oh, you know what? I need to get out of the folder because of chatter. Go back into it. There it is. Okay. So now if I touch test, sudo touch test, because it's owned by root, it created the file just fine. Okay. Sudo rm test. So now we need to change the ownerships here to pi. So we're going to go sudo chown pi dash r for recursive pi, I think is right. And then we're going to go library. Changing ownership. Operation not permitted. Did I use super user do? We'll set the permissions. Why would it not let me change the ownership? It might be read only, which is fine. Dev SDA. It's read write. No, it is obviously read write. Okay, well, that's... I love it when I, you know, start showing you something and it fails, and it really doesn't actually matter because we're only reading from this drive anyways. It is our video library, so, you know, I don't want to spend time figuring out permissions and things. I could see, if I was writing to this for some other reason, I could change the ownership, I could change the permissions. I don't really think it matters. What we want to know is, now, can Plex mount from slash mnt slash library? So that's where we go back to our computer here, and let's try adding a library, movies. We're going to call it movies. We're going to browse for media folder, and let's hope mnt library.
Look at that.
There you have it. Okay, so we've learned something here tonight together, folks, that it's good to not trust the GUI. Do it through the terminal. Do it the right way. Use FSTab. Mount it properly. And as I say, we're only reading from this drive, so I don't need to worry about the permissions. If you do, you can use chmod chown to set the permissions. I'm not too sure what they should be on a Pi, but it doesn't matter in this particular instance, and we can deal with that on another episode. So let's go into movies, because this is our movies folder, and we're going to add. So now, add library, and you're going to see it has no content, but it just suddenly picked up the prestige.
Okay.
So there's nothing there. There's no thumbnails, nothing. That's fine. Let's go home. And we see a movies. And, whoa, what's it doing? It's spinning its wheels. Nice. Okay, let's add another library. So we're going to go over here, libraries, and click on the plus. And we're going to go TV shows. And it's called TV shows. And we're going to go next. And we're going to browse to our library, which is in slash MNT library. And TV shows and add. Okay, so you notice that one actually had a subfolder. Did you notice that? Right at the last moment there.
Yeah.
Doctor Who is in a subfolder. Okay, and that's cool too. It doesn't have to be in the top level. It can be all organized for you. Add library. Now, TV shows are a little bit different because they have to conform to the formatting of S01E01 for season 1, episode 1.
Right.
If you don't have that formatting, Plex will not know how to deal with it. It won't know what it is.
Okay, good
so
to know.
When you add a show, make sure you include S01, E01, S01, E02, right? S02 for season 2, E01. No spaces in that, all caps. All right, that's important. So you'll notice that that started importing Doctor Who season 1. Okay, let's go home again and let's... Oh, look at that. The prestige is loaded. We're going to look a little closer at that in a couple of moments' time. Notice I didn't have to do anything or tell it anything other than just add my library. Let's add again, and we're going to go home videos. Okay? This is important that you use the home videos category because Plex is not going to know where my daughter going to the Strawberry Festival is as far as cover art and descriptions and things. So we're going to select home videos and then browse for our media folder, go into where we created our mount point, and there it is. Okay, add library, and now we've got a handful that are going to be loading in. Next up, add another library, and I wanted to also show you that Plex supports music playback, not just videos. So let's go next and browse to our music folder on my media, MNT library music, and we see a few CDs there organized into subfolders. So what do we want to do? Create a basic music library, or we can, if we want, pay for a premium Plex music library, which gives us access to artwork, artist bios, additional stuff. So there are advantages, and you read the details about why you might want to subscribe to Plex Pass.
Right.
Right now we're going to create a basic library. Where do you want to import the info from? From iTunes, included in your dashboard, use embedded tags. Yeah, you might want to do that. And when scanning your library, use embedded tags if present, using the agent, personal media artists, or Last.fm. Last.fm, of course, if they're kind of official CDs. If it's private music that you've created yourself, personal media artists would be the one. And go through and choose, set it up how you want. You can always delete and recreate the library. It's not going to actually delete your media.
Right.
Okay, so now I've got some home videos here.
Oh, look at that. It does a screenshot.
It's created a screenshot from the video. Let's look at the Prestige. So when I click on it, we see a couple of different things. We see that the community of Plex users and online have given it 4 out of 5 stars. We see the rating. We see the category, the year, the description, actors, everything. And even the quality here. And then we can just click play. Now remember, I'm looking at this through my browser. We're streaming this from a Roku 3. It's put it into full screen mode. And if all goes well, this is kind of the moment of truth, right? Because we're doing a lot on that Raspberry Pi 3.
Yeah, there's a lot of loading going on right now.
There is a ton of stuff going on right now. Because we're importing and it's accessing the internet and getting cover art and everything, but its playback is...
Look at that.
Beautiful and smooth. So that file, I'm not even sure what file format it was, but it's playing. So let's go into my home media library. So this is our dashboard. This is showing us the most recently added stuff. But over on the left-hand panel here, I can actually go into movies, music, TV shows, or home videos. And those are the folders that I created. So if I click on home videos, you'll actually see the videos. So if I click play now on one of these, it'll tell me the name of it, when it was filmed, the quality, and so on. Okay, so hit play. And remember that these formats for the home videos were all different formats. Okay, so right now, as we wait for this moment, Plex is actually saying, okay, what's the current format of the file? What are you streaming it to? What do I need to convert it to on the fly in order to play it to this particular device? And there it goes.
Look at that.
Brilliant.
Wow, your kids are so little.
They're so tiny. Okay, so now let's go back and let's click on the one that was I'm assuming the third one was the WMV file.
Yes.
Oh, yes, it says WMA2. So there you go. So click on that. And let's see what happens. You know, can Plex play WMV to my devices? And the answer is yes. Yes, it can, because it transcodes on the fly. And that's what we did tonight, was create that Raspberry Pi Plex media server, which is allowing it right now, as it thinks, to convert that to a format that's playable on my device.
Look
and there
that.
You go.
Wow.
It says, okay, the server is not powerful enough to convert this video for smooth playback. Okay, so that's the answer to, is the Raspberry Pi powerful enough for this? It may have some stuttering issues. So what could cause that? One, ready for this? It's going to surprise you. I have a slow USB flash drive that I'm using there.
Right, that would make sense.
Okay. Get a fast USB drive. USB, look at the specs of it. The read speed should be super fast. That's where, again, an external hard drive is going to perform way better. However, looking at Plex, we can actually go into the settings on the fly and change the bit rate.
Look at that.
Okay, so on the fly, I can actually downgrade the bit rate to something lower so that it's going to play a little bit better on my device. If you hit snags, if you have trouble, that's a possibility for you as well. So upgrade that hard drive. Make sure it's a nice, fast one. The external hard drive is going to be the best option for you. Let's see if this plays any better at a lower bit rate here. As we wrap up our special tonight on creating a Plex media server using a Raspberry Pi 3, and it is working fantastically well. Jeff, I want to know how it runs with your external hard drive, so let us know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
It is going to perform even better with that, because the media is going to be a lot faster.
I'm excited about this.
And there you have it.
Wow,
so
good times.
It is taking a little longer to transcode to a lower bit rate because it's got to think and it's got to do all that. But I think the Raspberry Pi is going to do it, folks. And you know what is really beautiful about the Raspberry Pi? You can set it up, you can play around, you can do all this stuff, and then you can throw a different SD card in it.
And play
or
the RetroPie.
Or wipe the SD card and put something else on it. There's really no limit to what you can do. The performance issues that I have right now with transcoding, guaranteed those are going to be at least improved by upgrading the hard drive because I'm just using a cheap USB 2.0 flash drive.
Right. And it, I mean, it was still processing thing as well. Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing it on the screen, finished processing this. So, I mean,
it's doing a lot of
back end stuff.
If we go back here, and you'll see now there's our music library. It's got the cover art, even though we don't have a special account. Doctor Who, if I go into the Doctor Who folder, you see that the episodes themselves have loaded and continue to load. And in fact, it will show me, this will continue to load, finished processing, it just said. So let's see if it gives us more information now. As it loads, it's actually saving the information about this particular series. So eventually, you know, within the next little, you know, 20 minutes or so, we're going to have a full description of the episode. We're going to have the...
Just like the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole thing.
All that information.
For the episode, on an episode-by-episode basis. Jumping back to our Plex Media server, you know, click on Piano Guys, and there's all the music. You can click on a particular song, and it's going to start playing. And there you go. It's your all-round multimedia device for home, and that's Plex Media Server. The device itself is the Raspberry Pi 3. Get it at cat5.tv/pi, spelled P-I. And, of course, Plex Media Server, if you follow the directions tonight, it's free to install. And then you just need that app for your devices to be able to play it.
$6.
So you get a Roku 2, you throw it on there for a couple bucks, and you're good to go for life.
Yep.
There you go.